From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Korva Coleman, sitting in for Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Korva. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Good to be back home in Chicago. Carl Castle, of course, is off on his annual trip, getting some rest and relaxation. One thing he will not be able to do this time, though, is edit his own Wikipedia entry. At least he can't do it without getting busted. A new website called WikiScanner allows anyone to find out what you, or at least people from your company, have been messing with on Wikipedia. Now, we did a search of NPR-related IP addresses, and we found that our colleagues have edited pages about Morning Edition, of course, Nina Totenberg, wonder who did that, Klezmer Music, and the movie Xanadu, starring Olivia Newton-John. Ah, Dan Shore, we've seen you with your spangles and your roller skates, but you're never going to get anyone to believe you were in the cast. It's time to make our own indelible record of the week's news. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Emily Lonigan from Lindenville, New York.
Hey, where's Lindenville?
Lindenville is halfway between Buffalo and Rochester. It's a teeny, teeny town. I graduated in a class of 62 students.
Really? Of high school, you mean?
Yes.
Wow, and you're still there. You haven't left.
Well, I'm a culinary student in a college near Buffalo.
Oh, I see. And what are you going to do? You're going to be a chef de cuisine? You're going
to... I would love to be a chef de cuisine.
It's fun to say, isn't it?
Yes.
It sounds like a cook of food.
A cook of food.
Yeah. What was that?
Yeah.
But in French.
If I'm remembering my French.
Yeah. Oh, you're so learned.
Emily, welcome to our show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a television personality and a keeper of the blog, Morocco180.com, Mr. Morocco.
Hi, Mo.
Hi, Emily. I love the cuisine of Buffalo. I love the beef.
Do you?
The beef on weck sandwich.
Oh, my goodness.
The wings are wonderful.
Yeah. No, that too. That too.
Also say hello to the woman lurking behind the syndicated column Ask Amy, Ms. Amy Dickinson.
Hi, Amy.
Hey, Emily.
Also say hello to a humorist and radio anomaly whose work can be found at Baudette.com, Mr. Tom Baudette.
Hello, Tom.
Hi, Emily. Nice to talk to you.
Emily, welcome to the show. You're going to start us off with Who's Korva this time? Korva Coleman right here is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize, Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine.
I'm so excited.
Okay, we are too. Here you go. Here is your first quote. It's from a man who this week offered the press his employment qualifications for his next job as he left his old one.
I have an employment record that I think would be attractive to any employer. I've waited tables, I've worked in convenience stores, and I have been robbed at the point of a gun twice. I've pumped gas, I've babysat, I've cut lawns, I've delivered newspapers.
That was somebody looking for a new job because he, in fact, quit his current job rather unexpectedly on Monday. Who?
Carl Rove.
Exactly right, Carl Rove. Gather around, everyone. I want to tell you a story. One day in the early 1970s, George H.W. Bush, then the head of the Republican National Committee, sent a young aide named Carl Rove down to the train station to pick up his, Mr. Bush's, eldest son. Can we have some music here?
Oh.
It was love at first sight. Mr. Rove says, quote, "He'd never seen so much charisma in one person in all his life," unquote. Also, the young Master Bush could burp the whole alphabet. That was the beginning of a partnership that would take the pair to the White House, and it ended this week when Rove announced his resignation. Why? Well, there's a lot of speculation, but we assume because the deal with Satan was that Rove would turn in his soul at the end of the second term, and he wants some time to prepare. It It is interesting. One of the things he said was about his...
I know his reason was, like, spending more time with his family. And his son is in college.
Yeah.
And, you know, college kids really do want their parents hanging around.
Like, right.
That's when they need you the very most.
No, you misheard him, Amy. After implying the Republican Party into our lives for the last 8 years, he's leaving to spend more time with your family.
Oh!
Now, for some perspective, now that Mr. Rove's political career, at least its main phase, is at an end, we thought we would be able to provide you some interesting perspective on how it began. We are pleased to welcome Mr. John Sorensen of Salt Lake City. Mr. Sorensen, welcome to Wait, Wait.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello, Peter.
Hi. Now, our understanding is that you have the distinction of being the first person ever to lose an election to Karl Rove. Is that right?
That is true, and my mother is very proud of that.
There you are. At least you've done something with your life. Could you tell us the story? When did it happen?
Well, it was the spring of 1968. It was the final elections at Olympus High School for the student body office of Senate president. I, being the class officer, was supposed to be a shoe-in against Carl. And in the final presentation before the student body, I entered into, I was in an old wood outhouse, wheeled in. It was kind of toilet humor. It was
no,
big back.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Because my first name's John, you know.
Yeah.
And we gave my speech. After the speech was finished, we waited for Carl to enter. And Carl ends up entering, sitting on the back of a Volkswagen convertible with two beautiful girls in both arms. The crowd goes wild, stands up, and the car circles the gymnasium. Carl gets out and flashes his victory sign. And at that point, I realized I had lost the election.
Wow. John, can I ask John a question?
Yeah.
John, what became of you?
What became of me? I became a president of a community bank in Salt Lake City.
Awesome.
So at least I became a president.
Yeah.
Now just think, if I had won the election, I might be in Washington with George Bush.
Mm. And that outhouse would be in the Smithsonian.
Yeah. Right.
Yes, that's right.
John Sorensen is the president of Home Savings Bank in Salt Lake City, and as you heard, the first person to lose an election to Karl Rove. Mr. Sorensen, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Emily, you're still with us?
Yes, I am.
Oh.
Great.
I forgot about Emily.
She had the time to whip up a souffle.
Right.
All right, very good. Here is your next quote.
From now on, I'm only letting my kid play with toys that I've whittled from trees growing in my backyard.
That was the San Francisco Chronicle's parenting blog known as The Poop. That's what it's called, reacting to what big event in the news this week?
The Mattel toy recall.
Exactly right. First, the Chinese accidentally poisoned our dog food. And I said nothing because I have no dog. Then they messed up the toothpaste, and I said nothing because I don't brush. But then they wrecked our toys, and man, are we in trouble. Mattel recalled 9 million toys, which, by the way, is exactly the number strewn in the floor of my daughter's bedroom as I speak. The toys, made in China, include toy cars with lead paint, plus Batman dolls and other toys with powerful and dangerous magnets. And, of course, the now infamous Barbie Puts an Eye Out playset. I don't know what they were thinking with that one. Emily, here is your last quote.
I will not be back after this message.
That was the epitaph that a famous TV star chose for his own gravestone. We're hoping he'll get his wish, since he died this week at the age of 82. Who was it?
I have no idea.
Oh, my gosh.
Big TV figure died at the beginning of the week. Huge in the 70s. I don't know how old you are, but if you watch daytime
TV... I'm 19.
Then you have no idea.
Wow.
Whoa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
His picture's on the $500 bill.
Right. Emily, when you think of Dinah Shore, as I'm sure you never do...
Wait, what's the, like, that mythological creature? It's like a dog's head with a tiger's
Cerberus?
Body. No, I'm trying to, like, give her a clue.
Oh, I see.
Like
I see what you
Cerberus.
Mean.
What's it?
Wait, didn't...
She's never going to get it.
In
what?
An old Seinfeld episode, didn't
yes,
Kramer
found the
found
set.
The
yes.
set. Okay, that's
this,
a great...
You know how old... Right.
Woo!
You might have thought that the most successful Hollywood showman was someone like Steven Spielberg. No, by most accounts, it was a former band singer and then a 1970s talk show host who created the two most successful game shows ever, Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. Mm. They made Merv Griffin ultimately a billionaire, partially because he got a royalty check every time anybody played that Jeopardy waiting for the answer music, you know, dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun.
Well, his heirs just earned $4.90 because he wrote that. He wrote the music.
Who is Merv Griffin?
Very good. Korva, how did Emily do on our quiz?
Well, Peter, Emily got three answers right. She wins Carl Castle's voice on her home answering machine.
Well done, Emily. Congratulations.